This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One.
No, it's more than one.
I think it's one. Yeah,
talking
one and
about
a half. Maybe one and a half.
No.
He's been with us on Fridays?
He's well more than that.
Is it?
Yeah, it's been years. He's been with us since day one.
He might have been.
I'm pretty sure he's been with us.
Either that or he's aged me that long.
At least 13 years he's been on and off on the show. 100% guarantee. Let's just ask him that. Let's go to the North Homestead
Chrysler Jeep. Oh, you're talking Jeep. BA. I was talking Hody.
Oh, God, no, I wasn't talking about Hody.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant Hody.
Wait, I'm sorry. I meant, no, I wasn't talking about it because I don't want his listeners to get mad. Can I have your listeners back, Hody? Thank you. All right, good. All right, Brian Anderson. It's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. BA, how many years have we been doing this? Doing on Fridays? Years.
It would have been, it was the third week of March when the world shut down during the pandemic.
That's right.
It was
right.
when everything shut down, so everybody was looking for content because nothing was going on. And I got a call from you guys and said, hey, would you mind coming on tomorrow at noon? And it's been from the third week of March of 2020.
Wow.
Paxlovid
couldn't cure this, could it?
It's right. It's year round. It's not like I do another radio gig down here in Tampa, but it's only during the course of the season.
Wow.
You know, when the season's over, I'm done.
You've been on with us since we first came on the air. You've always been a friend of the show, yeah.
But not regular. It became regular. It became weekly. Back in 2020, beginning of 2020.
Yeah, I get more. I love when Brian's on the show. I love hearing Brian.
Yeah,
it's your Northeast Ohio roots that have put you embedded in the show. Just so you know that, and for that, I just want you to know we are doubling your salary, doubling what we are currently paying you. Thank you so much.
And you know what? It's funny because I've learned that from my daughter as she gets into her multiplication tables.
Yes.
That any number times zero is still zero. So appreciate you doubling that zero.
Oh, that's that Florida math for you, my friend. It's outstanding.
Yeah. Hey, dude, I'm going to tell you what. I know it's a it's like a national joke. You know, Florida man. Florida man is real, bro. When you live down here. Florida man is a real thing. It's crazy the characters you run into down here.
The other one that's scary too, BA, have you ever done it with Michigan man? Because there's a lot of weirdos that get up there too. Like it's not just like a Ohio State thing. It's like, no, it's weird up there, especially when you get into the UP.
Yeah.
I was going to say, let's be honest. Florida man has its own website. The headlines on here are off the hook.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They would have occasionally at a Rays game, they would have a fan, and they would basically read them three headlines. And it was called Florida Man.
Right.
And they would read them three headlines, two of which were true. Which one is the false headline? The problem is all three of them were so whacked out, you could never get the one that was actually false. They all three seem to be false. There's no way this could have happened, but yet two of the three were legitimate things. So there's a lot of content. Speaking of content, there's a lot of content for Florida Man that you can get into.
It is endless. Maybe it could be a game here. All right, let me get back. There's a guy.
Do you want me to save us before you go down?
No, hang on. Just one thing. There's a guy with a tattoo in between his eyes, shape of the state of Florida. Okay, that's all I've got to say.
Why not? And he was so proud. He was so proud to get that done in Old Town Kissimmee, probably.
You already knew where it was. That was impressive. I'm impressed. All right, can we start talking a little sports here? Terry Francona going to the Reds. Your thoughts on that?
Not surprised in the least. Now, maybe the team that he's going to, but not surprised that he is back managing. Without a doubt. I think that, one of the worst kept secrets in Major League Baseball last year was that, I should say 2 years ago, since this past year is over and he did not manage, But one of the worst kept secrets in baseball was that he was going to be leaving Cleveland, not necessarily because he wanted to, but that was going to be his last year there. But you knew that he wanted to continue to manage. So the fact that he took a year off and is jumping right back in, not even remotely surprised.
All right, BA. So we get through the three game sets. Actually, I don't know if we asked you. Do you like the wild card three game series? I mean, we all know it's better than the one off, but I mean, the three game, it feels too short, man.
No. If anything, it's too long. Listen, I do like the three. Here's the problem. The All-Star break in Major League Baseball is 4 days. That's too many days off. It's too many days off. I was a part of, 13, 14, All-Star breaks. And when you come back from the All-Star break, you feel like, wait a minute, how do I throw this again? It's crazy in baseball when you take a chunk of time off, how different it feels and how it's so hard to stay sharp. And so I want to see a bigger sample size. But last year, you had all these teams, three different teams that won 100 games, okay? No team this year won 100 games. Last year, I think you had three. And all of them got knocked out in the first round. Why? Because they hadn't played baseball in 5 days because of the wild card. So if you made the wild card any longer, what you'd be asking the teams that worked their tail off to win their division and get a bye to wait over a week to play. No, that's terrible. And it was bad enough, by the way, three of the four teams that got a bye last year got knocked out in the first round. They got knocked out. They hadn't played baseball in 5 days. Now they try to pick it back up. You try to stay sharp with the, inter-squad games and stuff like that, but they're now playing a team that is on a roll. They've won their wild card series, and they've been playing every day. You have not. And three of those four teams got knocked right out in the first round. And I don't think that that's what you want. I don't think you want your best teams in the sport to get knocked out in the first round. Now, that happens. That's the way it goes. But that is the inherent nature of baseball. It's a repetition, day-to-day sport. And when you ask teams to take off 5 days without playing a game, I don't care what you do behind the scenes to try to stay sharp, it's not the same as playing a game. And so they come out, they're rusty game one. Oh, now they're down, and then they end up getting beat. So all that to say, I do like the wild card best of three rather than the one-off, but it can be no longer than three. If you made it five, you're putting the teams that earned the bye at such a disadvantage that's not fair either. And you couldn't have a five-game series without having a day off or two. And now you're pushing it out. My good God almighty, these teams don't play for 9 or 10 days. That's not fair.
All right, what do you think of this Tigers-Guardian series? What are your thoughts on that?
Cleveland better dig in, baby. I because Detroit, and I this is way over dramatic, but the way that they handled the Rays, the way that they came back and beat the Rays in game three of their series that we played them the last week of the season, I dropped tongue in cheek. This team feels like a team of destiny. Because if you go back from August 11th, through the end of the season, the Detroit Tigers have the best record in baseball, and it's not even close. It's not even close. Their record from August 11th to the end of the year was like 34-12, 35-12. It was absurd. I mean, absurd. So you're talking about a team that has a full head of steam going into the playoffs, and then they walk into Houston and sweep them? Who's done that lately? Who's done that? So, man, I think again, team of destiny is a way too strong a phrase. But my good God Almighty, there's no hotter team in baseball. And AJ Hinch, outside of this is when you know that maybe they are a team of destiny, because game two of that series, AJ Hinch tried to blow it. Okay, he brought in Jackson Jobe, the kid with he's a great prospect, and he's probably, if he stays healthy, is going to be a tremendous major league pitcher. However, he has 4 innings of major league experience, and you're going to bring him in the 7th inning on the road to protect a 1-run lead. I was in a group text with some guys down here on our TV crew, and I go, AJ is getting way too cute. You want to get the kid in the game, get the kid in the game when you're down a run or two, and you don't ease a kid into a game. Hey, go protect a 1-run lead in Houston in the 7th inning. And what happened? it didn't take long for Houston to have taken the lead. Now, he got bailed out, and they came back, and they won that game. Maybe that's another reason to say that they're a team that's pushing all the right buttons, because even when they royally screw it up by making a, you know, very confusing, and I know that he wants his guys to play fearless. However, he's a rookie with four innings of big league experience. Not the spot to bring him in, and I think that that showed. He hits the first guy he faces. If that's not nerves, what is? And the inning got away from him, but they bailed him out. So this team, they are rolling right now, and their confidence level is through the roof. So Cleveland had better, you know, dig their heels in and expect a brawl over the course of this series.
The best friend of the show, Brian Anderson, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's it like going up against a team where, and A.J. Hinch's comments stick in my head, where it's like, game one, we're throwing Tarek Skubal, and then game two is pitching chaos. What's it like going up against that team when, like, you're basically saying now, hey, it's going to be Skubal and then a whole bunch of guys, and you have no idea who's coming next?
That's right. Well, that's how they feel that they have the best opportunity to win. And I don't blame them. They've got a really strong bullpen. I didn't realize how strong it was until we went in to play them. And, you know, they started to empty that pen. And I, at one point, I looked over at Dwayne, and I'm like, is there anybody that comes out of this pen that doesn't throw 98 with an absolute filthy breaking ball? I mean, what is going on here? I mean, this team, and there are a lot of names that you've never heard of. But, boy, oh, boy, did they get the job done. So AJ's going to ride that. He's going to ride Tarek. And then he's gonna throw tons of bullpen guys at you. He doesn't need his starters going forward to get him that deep before he can empty that pen. And as we talked before, that the way that it's set up this round with the off days, that favors teams with really good bullpens. Guess what? That's Detroit. That's Cleveland. So it is going to be a battle of bullpens. And whoever executes at the highest level obviously is going to be the team that moves on, and it's going to be about clutch hitting. You know, you're probably not going to be able to sit back and pound home runs. So you're going to have to manufacture some runs. You're going to have to put some people in motion. We know both teams can swipe a bag. You know, Detroit, one of the really good teams going first to third. You know, good base runners. That stuff's going to matter in this series because the pitching, especially when you get into those bullpens, is so strong.
All right, it's a total homework question. Is there something special about playing playoff baseball in Cleveland compared to anywhere else, and maybe even compared to the regular season?
I can't really pick out better atmospheres. I really couldn't. You know, I played with Arizona. I played with Arizona in, you know, at home. That was a great atmosphere. But there was something about Cleveland in those years. You know, that was a sellout streak. That was,
right.
That was, you know, a June 2nd Tuesday night game against Oakland. It was sold out. I mean, the atmosphere was ridiculously electric during the regular season, let alone the playoffs in that city. Yeah, that's the thing, because that city is so, and, you know, was and is so hungry for a winner and a championship, you know, and listen, they got it with the Cavs. But let's be honest. I think the Cavs are probably third in the pecking order. It's Browns win Super Bowl, Cleveland wins World Series, and then Cavs win NBA championship. And they got one. That was great. And the city shut down. We were there for it, which was the coolest thing. We were, you know, we had flown in that Sunday and landed at Burke Lakefront and got to the hotel downtown right at the end of the first quarter. So I got to watch that game, and I got to go out on the streets. It was one of the most surreal settings and surreal walks around town that I've ever had. People that you would be diving behind dumpsters the next day if you were going to run into them in an alley, you were hugging and high-fiving that night. It was incredible, incredible, and so well-behaved. Nobody was flipping cars, putting things, you know, setting things on fire. It was one of the coolest experiences that I have ever had to be a part of that. Of course, then we were there for the parade. So, you know, and we got all jammed up trying to get into the ballpark because the parade got delayed and there were so many people downtown that the parade route got too narrow and everything got backed up. I mean, it was crazy. I remember pulling into the, because they would let me park in the players' lot. Mike Segi would always allow me to park my rental in the players' lot. And I remember pulling in behind Jason Kipnis And we were getting there so late. I mean, it was a show-and-go day for everybody because of that doggone parade. But all that to say, you know, Cleveland sports, Browns, you know, I'll say it reluctantly, guards. And then, yeah, that's so tough for me to say. If you listen to our broadcast when we play you guys, it is Cleveland Ball Club. It's Cleveland this. I cannot jump on it.
I know people who are the same way with the Commanders. They refuse to refer to them as the Commanders.
I'm struggling with that all week.
They just refer to them as the Washington football team at every turn.
Yeah, right. They should have just kept them with the Washington football club. Commanders is lame. Lame. All these new names for, you know, the reasons in which they changed the name, they've gone to something completely lame across the board.
It was brought up to me that the Commanders was the worst thing because now you could call them the Washington Commies. Which is just a whole nother.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Other problem.
Jesus Christ.
All right, BA. So so when you look especially at the spectrum of baseball, it seems like the AL Central is back. It seems like we've got Kansas City rolling. We've got Detroit going up against the Guardians. Are we now past the days where everybody could stop pointing and laughing at the AL Central?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yes. And all you have to do is bring up the 2 points you just made, period. You got three teams left in the dance. There's four left. Three of the four, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, three of the four are AL Central teams. So you can all zip it about the AL Central stinking. 100%.
BA, as always, it is fun to talk to you. We enjoy our conversations with you. What do you got? Rutgers tomorrow? Good luck to your Cornhuskers tomorrow against Rutgers.
Yeah, you know what? That's going to be a tough game. Rutgers are pretty good. I watched them play last week. That's going to be a handful. If Rutgers goes into Lincoln and beats them, I'm not going to be that surprised. But that's okay because I'm going to be on my way tomorrow to Bad Blood up in Atlanta, Georgia, WWE premium live event. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, reluctant tag team partners going up against the Bloodline. Can't wait for it. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, too.
Can't you get a gig working for them in the offseason?
I love how all in you are. This is awesome.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous. The kids cannot wait. They cannot wait to get out of school. They got a little play date set up after school today. And they can't. What time are we leaving tomorrow, Daddy, so we can get to Atlanta in Bad Blood? They are fired up for it.
See, I got to get the niece and nephew into this.
Yeah.
I got to do this.
Yep.
All right, BA. We got to roll. Have fun tomorrow.
I appreciate it, but more than anything else, I appreciate you guys avoiding Browns talk with me again.
Well, that's what we're here for.
That is what our text chain is for.
If you don't have anything nice to say, let's move it right along.
Thank you, BA. We'll talk to you later. Right. Peace.
Bye, boys.
Bye, Brian.
See you, buddy.
Super friend of the show, Brian Anderson. On the North Homestead, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram hotline. Here's Hody with 2020.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.